Good morning, I'm Heather. I'm a lay minister here. An apology before I start, I've got a horrible cough. It's not COVID. And hopefully, I just pray that it doesn't interrupt our talk this morning. So let's begin with a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. Inspire us and guide us as we listen to it and seek to live out our lives in faith. Amen. So as a lay minister, I get to be part of our church council, the PCC. Not much of a perk, you might think, but we do, once a year, we go away on an away a day. But again, that's not much of a perk because it's half a day and it's more of an off-site rather than a jolly day out. But we do get to go to a lovely place in Oakwood Hill, and we listen to God, we spend time in silence, we spend time in prayer. I think we spent time listening to Alex, and then we have discussion groups where we talk together about what we feel God and the Holy Spirit are saying to us about where our mission as a church is going. And I had the job of writing up what we were doing. So afterwards, I was looking over my notes and over the flip chart sheets. And it was as if God had given us a number of golden threads. Different people had said very similar things. And three of those golden threads really struck me. The first was listening. It was listening to God, listening to one another, and listening to our community, our world. The second was about relationships, building relationships with one another, with our community, with the world. And the third one was collaboration, collaborating with one another. As a town, we're beginning to learn how to collaborate as Christians and collaborating with people generally. But those second two are entirely dependent on the first. If we don't listen to one another, then we can't build relationships. And if we can't build relationships, we can't collaborate. So this August, we're having a break from our sermon series. And Alex took the bold step of giving anyone who was preaching free rein in their choice of sermon topic. Now that usually fills me with dread because you look at the Bible and you think, where on earth do I begin? But God really put it on my heart to talk today about listening, and in particular, listening to one another. So in the letter from James that Caroline read to us, James writes, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, but slow to speak." And in his letter, James is thinking about what it means to live your life as a Christian. And our faith is demonstrated in the way we live our lives. James says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Faith that isn't active, passive faith, isn't faith at all. And if you read on to the end of chapter 1, James says this: "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after widows and orphans in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." And Paul writes in Galatians, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." So how does this love that we live out as part of our faith relate to listening? Well, the theologian Paul Tillich put it like this: the first duty of love is to listen. Why should listening be such an issue? A Greek philosopher famously said, we have two ears and one mouth, so we can listen twice as much as we speak. But do we? James must have felt the early Christian church weren't very good at listening. And how well do we listen? Are we quick to listen and slow to speak? Or are we slow to listen and quick to speak? Often we'll go up to people and ask them how they are, but we very rarely listen to their response. We either move on to someone else or start talking about what we want to talk about. Or if they are talking, we listen with half an ear, worrying about something else, or thinking about how do I respond to that that makes me sound clever and good. And on top of all that, we live in a world where communication has actually never been easier. You can see and talk to a friend on the other side of the world at the touch of a button. You can receive messages, updates, photos from friends and family throughout the day, no matter where they are. You can scroll through millions of posts and comments and see photos, videos on TikTok or Twitter or Instagram. Apparently more than 100 billion WhatsApp messages are sent every day, and that's by a mere 2 billion people. So that's an average of 50 WhatsApp messages per person per day. But ironically, this huge explosion in how we communicate has actually made us poorer at communicating. We've invented new ways of not listening. So let's take fubbing as an example. It's a newish word. I think it originated in Australia, but who knows what it means. P-H-U-B-B-I-N-G. Any takers? There's been lots of articles about it recently in the press. It's an amalgam of phone and snubbing, fubbing. And it's the way many of us ignore the person we're with in order to look at something that's come through on our phone. And it happens all the time. Happens in our house over breakfast, or if you're out having coffee with a friend, or out with a group of friends, people are constantly checking their phones. Sometimes if the phone rings, they'll answer it. Some people who are sports mad will be following a cricket match while they're talking to you. My better half famously kept updating the Fulham score during a wedding reception. But how does being fubbed make you feel as an individual? It makes you feel you're not being listened to, that you're not valuable to that person. They're more interested in what's going on their phone. Or you might be guilty of doing the same thing. And very unsurprisingly, lots of research around fubbing has shown that it has a negative effect on marriages. I don't know who paid to find that out, but it's... But all in all, I think our ability to be listeners has actually worsened since James wrote his letter. And if we're not listening to our nearest and dearest, how can we listen to those in our wider circle? To those at church, to those in our community, to those on the edge. How can we be quick to listen and slow to speak? Well, let's begin where we should always begin, with Jesus. And Caroline read us that amazing story from Mark's Gospel, which gives us a masterclass in listening. So this encounter with blind Bartimaeus occurs at a really tricky time for Jesus. He's at a very stressful point in his ministry. If you read the whole of chapter 10, you'll feel exhausted. So never mind actually being there and living it. So Jesus, his disciples, and a large crowd of people are leaving Jericho. Jesus is on his long walk to Jerusalem, where he knows he's facing suffering and death. Jesus has been teaching the crowds. He's been responding to all sorts of trick questions from Pharisees. He's been blessing the children who were brought to him. He's been trying to help the rich man who wants to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he's had to have another very difficult conversation with his disciples, trying to explain to them what it means to go to Jerusalem, what it will mean in terms of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. And you can only imagine how exasperated he must have felt when, having had that conversation, all James and John wanted to do was jostle for position when they got to heaven. So you just can imagine all of this going on around you. And at this point, a blind beggar sitting by the roadside starts shouting out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd who are surrounding Jesus try and shut him up. But Jesus is listening. He's listening out for that need, despite all that might have been going on around him. Jesus is listening. And Jesus hears the cry of a needy man. And Jesus stops. In his position, most of us would simply have pressed on. There's an important triumphal entry into Jerusalem about to happen. But Jesus heard the man's cry, and he stopped. And when the man comes to Jesus, what does Jesus do? Does he tell him he's in a bit of a hurry, so make it quick? Does he tell the man what he needs to do? Does he offer him money or salvation? No, Jesus asks him a question. What do you want me to do for you? So in similar circumstances, would we have even heard that man? Would we have been far too preoccupied with our own lives, our own affairs, to be listening out for that cry for help? Would we have made the time to stop? Would we have asked a beggar what he wanted? So I was recently given a lesson in listening by a patient in Dorking Hospital, where I volunteer as a chaplain. My role is very much about chatting to people and listening to them and hear lots of amazing stories about people's lives. But one day, having prayed, "Lord, help me to help someone today," I walked into the ward and it was empty apart from one lady. Everyone else was out in the garden doing some sort of gentle exercise. So I assumed this lady would be feeling a bit lonely and left out, so I went up and tried to chat to her. But everything I asked her, whether it was about her background, her home, her family, her illness, the food in the hospital, I got a monosyllabic answer. She just did not want to engage. Eventually, as I got up to go, thinking really that my whole day had been wasted, I asked her if there was anything I could do for her. And she really perked up. And she said, "Yes. Could you swat that fly that's buzzing around me? It's driving me mad." So I killed the fly. And hopefully I left her in a better place. But for me, that was a lesson in how I hadn't listened. I just thought I knew how to listen, and I did the wrong thing. Now, if you start delving into the sort of theological side of listening, one slightly unexpected name comes up, and that's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's famous to most of us for being the German pastor and theologian who resisted the Nazis. He was imprisoned and he was hanged in 1945. But in 1939, he was running a sort of underground training college for ministers. And he wrote a small book that's called Life Together, about how Christians can live together as community. And it has a section on ministry. Now, most of us understand the word ministry, and between us, we fulfill various ministries. But his first one is one I'd never heard of. It's the ministry of holding one's tongue. That's followed by the ministry of meekness, and then the ministry of listening. And Bonhoeffer writes, "The first service that one owes to others in the fellowship is to listen to them." So when we're together as a church family in worship or meeting together in our small groups, do we see listening as our first priority? Many of us love the opportunity to talk, to express our opinions, to say what we think. But Bonhoeffer says, just as love to God begins with listening to his word, so the beginning of love for the brethren is learning to listen to them. And he comments that Christians, especially ministers, so often think they've got to say something when they're with others that they forget that listening can actually be a greater service than speaking. And Bonhoeffer observes, those in the wider community outside the fellowship are desperate for someone to listen to them. And he remarks that Christians are far too busy talking to listen to others. So as we at St. Paul's follow our mission to gather, to grow and to go, are we too busy talking to listen? When we began with our Mission Action Plan, the Community Go group went out into the community and they began with a listening exercise, asking people what their issues were. So how do we continue with that work? How do we listen well to others, whether we're out on our own or part of a group? How can we be quick to listen and slow to speak? Well, we've seen from Jesus' masterclass in it some of the steps that he took. The first was that he was listening out. He knew that somewhere in the crowd someone needed him, and he listened for it. He wasn't too preoccupied with all the busyness in his own life. And he stopped. He was prepared to stop whatever he was doing and give that person his full attention. And then he asked him what he wanted. If you want to become a better listener, there's lots of amazing material available, and many of us here have been trained in listening as counsellors, as pastoral visitors, or if you've done a marriage course or a parenting course, you'll have had lessons in listening techniques. And they're all very good techniques, but we need to remember to take them into our normal lives and not just keep them for those special encounters. So this week, why not challenge yourselves? Listen out to a cry. It's unlikely to be a blind beggar by the roadside, but it might be someone close to you. It might be a neighbour. It might be someone you encounter in town. And stop and give that person your full attention. Listen and ask what they want. And I've got a quote to finish, and this is the cue for the band to come up. But it's a quote that I read. And it really struck me because perhaps I'm very guilty of this. Sometimes the holiest thing we can do is to turn off the phone and close the laptop. We can't love well and listen poorly. Amen.